We've been taking time through the Gospel of Luke, chapter by chapter, verse by verse, and we are almost finished. Last week, Jesus appeared in the room with his disciples. Junior high, you can go out into the lobby and meet David for youth church. And as Jesus met his disciples in that room, they were fearful, they were scared, doubting, confused, and yet he comes in that room with a message of peace. A peace that he brings to them that's not like the world's peace. And he invited them with their doubts to see his side, to feel his hands, to have a meal with him, to see that it was truly him in their midst, risen from the dead. We saw the hope and the peace he brought for a troubled soul. But this morning we're going to take a pause in the Gospel of Luke in honor of Mother's Day. And so first and foremost, on behalf of all the mothers in this room and those maybe watching online or listening, I want to just honor you and say thank you for all the mothers present here today. The calling that you've been given in carrying and delivering, in raising and discipling the next generation of the church is a weighty, sometimes exhausting, and often unseen calling. But we're thankful for it. And every single person in this room can testify to how important a mother is because none of us would be here without them. It's a holy call. It's a God-honoring, great commission call. One that is only possible as you fulfill and first answer the call to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And this morning I want to say thank you for those of you here answering that call with such boldness and grace, and for continuing to show up in the lives of your children and the children of this church, this city, and our world. We are better for the faithful mothers in our lives. And you give us hope for the future that good men and women will still rise up because of the hard work that you are putting in today. But I also want to take a moment this morning to recognize the spiritual mothers represented in this room who maybe have not yet been able to bear their own children. That you are no less a mother in the eyes of God, called, equipped, being used for his kingdom and his glory. And I was even struck this week as I was looking in Genesis by the fact that Adam named his wife, the first woman in all creation, Eve, because she was the woman, the mother over all living things, and yet she had not yet given birth to a single child. That even within her name and who God had designed her to be was this motherly nature before she ever had a child, just in the way God had designed her and called her. And so, for those of you that may represent, you're no less called or valuable, and you are needed and appreciated, and we see you this morning. And I also want to recognize those this morning who have taken that call into many other avenues, not only maybe in mothering your own children, but in helping in areas like kids ministry and youth ministry and Sprouts ministry, and you're going out in the community, you're reaching out to other families, and you are fulfilling that call to love and care for children, to raise them up in the Lord, even if they aren't from your own womb and bear your own name, that you're taking that responsibility seriously. And lastly, I just want to acknowledge that Mother's Day is a day we celebrate and we honor the mothers in our lives and the mothers that are here today. But we also realize that for some of you, maybe this is the first Mother's Day without a mother that's been in your life. That maybe this isn't a day of celebration as much as it is one of grieving. And we always want church to be a place where we can do both of those, where we can celebrate the mothers that are here, the mothers that are faithfully answering that call. We can also grieve the ones who didn't have a good mother, or the ones who had a good mother that's no longer here. Church is a place that we can hold those in tension and still come before the Lord and celebrate that he is good. Amen? So would you join me in celebrating and honoring the moms this morning who are here with us today by giving them a hand and thanking them for what they're doing? And your homework today for all of you is to make sure any mother that's a part of your life doesn't go throughout today without being thanked and honored and celebrated for the work that she is doing. You know, Abraham Lincoln once said that no man is poor who has a godly mother. You are rich today because of that reality, and I hope that you are encouraging those mothers and celebrating them well today. But this morning, what we're going to look at, and if you're taking notes, you could write this down, is the biblical makeup of motherhood. The biblical makeup of motherhood. Do you realize that motherhood is one of the oldest occupations in all of humanity? Maybe right behind tending and keeping of the garden was the call for Eve to be a mother. Much like the role of fatherhood, which is to provide for his home, to fight and protect his home, and to lead his home, the role of motherhood is a significant role with lasting implications and a gospel-centered focus in mind. This morning, what we're going to look at is some of the key ingredients that make up a biblical mother. But this is not an exclusive study for the ladies in the room. So if you are without child, if you are a male in the room today, this isn't your invitation to mentally check out or to create some kind of checklist that says, let's see how my wife, my mother, stacks up to all of these ingredients. Because what we're going to see is that God's design in calling women to be mothers, it's a shadow. It's just a glimmer, a glimpse into this call he's given all people in the Great Commission, but also it's a glimmer into his own heart and his own nature and how he loves and cares and protects and nurtures us. Because do you realize this morning? The most common thing you are called in Scripture is what? A child. And God is your parent. And so we're going to look at some of the makeup of what makes a biblical mother, and we're not going to go exhaustive because we don't have 7 weeks to do this. We're going to do this in one morning. But look at some of the key ingredients and how not only are those necessary for a God-honoring biblical mother, but how they point to a greater reality in the gospel and in the God that we serve. Samuel Coleridge, a Puritan, theologian, philosopher, once said this, that the love of a mother is the veil of a softer light between the heart and the Heavenly Father. That what we'll see, even throughout the imperfect struggles of motherhood and that great responsibility and call, is that it's pointing to something greater, something higher, something that lifts our eyes towards the Lord, and something that we could describe today as worship. But even though it's a divine call, doesn't mean it's devoid of difficulty. Can I get an amen from all the mothers in the room? I was reading a study this week done by the Barna Group. And in the survey that they did, these are some of the conclusions that they drew from this, some of the data that came in. They found that 95% of moms say they need to do a better job in at least one area of life. They found that 80% said they feel overwhelmed by stress. They said that 70% say they don't get enough rest. And more than 50% feel overcommitted and dissatisfied by their balance of work and home life. In fact, I bet every mother in this room could testify to the fact that it didn't take long to realize that motherhood, like everything else in this world, is riddled with the effects of sin and destruction and is far from perfect, even as beautiful and glorious as it may be. Because you're reminded of how good it could be and should be and you want it to be, but see how far it falls short of that perfection. Well, I hope this morning that first and foremost, you are reminded of the grace that not only saved you, but also sustains you. that as far as you may feel you are failing in motherhood, realize that every person in this room has fallen short of the glory of God, and not by a little bit, by a landslide. Faith, because of the finished work of Jesus, that can sustain us and empower us as we move forward and seek to honor the Lord in our lives, because God, who is rich in mercy and abounding in grace, intercedes on our behalf. And that's my prayer as we look at these three different categories of this overarching theme of biblical motherhood, that we would do so through the lens of grace. Not the lens of a law that says you better be doing these really well or walk out that door and work harder. That's not the heart of this. That's not the heart of the gospel. But looking at it through a lens of grace that says, how can we walk in these imperfectly, but looking to a perfect God who empowers and strengthens us to continue to get back up and walk in obedience to glorify Him? Because there is a beauty behind these ingredients that points to a perfect Savior who has completed the work and gives us an example to follow. And that we would be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And may His grace draw us to a deeper place of obedience, faith, and dependence on Him today. But the first ingredient, I don't think we could go anywhere before we start with this, is love. When we talk about a mother, you can't help but start with love. I mean, I cannot think of a more tangible expression of God's love for His people than that of a love that a mother has with her children. And that mother's love can teach us something about God's heart that we may miss without this image. It's not perfect, but often motherhood gives us a front row seat to grace in action. When moms love without return, when they show up without applause, when they put others' needs before their own, when they forgive without keeping score, when they continue to show up and continue to care for those who may never even appreciate it. Now, even the best moms will fall short in this. That's why we don't worship mothers. We don't expect from them what only God can provide, but we honor, support, and pray for them and see through their example a perfect love. A perfect love that comes from a God who we're told in Scripture is love, and that nothing can separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I don't know about you, but when I look for that kind of love, the closest example we see is the love of a mother with her children. It's a bit of a backhanded compliment. Well, I don't even know if I'd call it a compliment. But I'm sure you've heard the phrase that someone has a face only a mother could love. I hope you've never heard it. But it expresses something, doesn't it? This unconditional love of a parent who goes, look at my child, aren't they beautiful? And you're like, oh, yeah, what a sweet little alien, that's wonderful. And yet there is a love God has given mothers for their children that is unlike any kind of love. And there's a beauty in that unconditional love that points to a God who loves us even while we were still sinners. Even when we are flawed and imperfect, and trust me, if we could see ourselves and all of our filth and our sin and our shame, you'd be going, whoa, that's an ugly child. And yet that's not how God describes us. When others would just see flaws and imperfections, it's a mom who sees the beauty and the possibility that is their child. It's a glimmer of a God who would look at disciples that He would call, and others would say, a tax collector and a betrayer of His people, good for nothing, an outcast of our society. God would say, no, I'm going to call that man. I'm going to use him as a disciple of mine. When others would look at these fishermen and say, they weren't good enough for a rabbi, they're no good fishermen just out there on their ships, they're not educated men, they're not well spoken of. And yet God would say, no, I'm going to take those fishermen, I'm going to make them fishers of men. I'm going to use them to turn the world upside down. I'm going to use them to plant the church and to spread the gospel. When others just see a young shepherd boy and even his own family overlooks him and leaves him out in the fields, God says, that's the one I'm going to make king. That's the one I'm going to use to slay the giant. That's the one who's a man after my own heart. See, how often does the world overlook those, see them as insignificant, as less than, as flawed and imperfect, and God says, no, that's my child who I'm calling. And I see an incredible opportunity here to show myself strong on their behalf. I see the beauty that will be one day as they surrender and follow and walk in obedience. How beautiful is it that we have a God that sees in us what we don't even see in ourselves and calls it out of us, and through his Holy Spirit refines us into that image bearer of himself. In fact, when God would describe his love and care for his people, to just show you how great it is, he took the example of a mother with her child, an example that we would know and say, man, that is a great and deep love, and say, how much greater is my love and care for my people? He did this in Isaiah 49, verse 15, when he said this, can a woman forget her nursing child and not have compassion on the son of her womb? Surely they may forget, yet I will not forget you. Now, how many of you know a mother who's forgotten the child she's nursing? Of course not. We would look at that question and go, surely not. She's never going to forget that child. And he says, but how much more than even that will I not forget my people? Will I not stop to show love and care and compassion for my people? See, God used that very example of love to show just how much greater, though, his love is for his people. And I hope today, as you honor mothers and you remember, man, how sacrificial and kind and unconditional was my mother's love for me, that not only does it draw you to honor and respect them and give thanks, but you go, man, and if that's just a glimmer of the kind of love God has for me, man, he is worthy of all my praise. What manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called children of God. But it doesn't stop at love. Love is absolutely necessary. But it doesn't stop there. It starts there, but it moves to this nurturing protection that every mother has for her children because of her deep love for them. And this loving protection of a mother for her children, it gives us just a glimpse into the heart of the Lord for his children. You know, it's staggering to watch the great lengths at which a mother will go through to protect her child from danger, to protect her child from harm. In Scripture, we see mothers risking their own lives for their children, like Jochebed, Moses' mother. When a command goes out that all the male children are to be killed, what does she do? But she keeps her child hidden and then puts him inside of the reeds and sends him down in the water so that he can live. She puts her own life at risk to protect this child, because that's the heart of a mother, to protect those who cannot protect themselves. Even the midwives who were told to be the ones to perform this act of killing these children, when they're brought before Pharaoh and asked to answer for themselves, why are male children being born and you're not killing them? They say, sorry, they just give birth too quick. We can't get there in time. They cover for the mothers. And you know, we live in a day and age where we need more moms in boldness to stand up and protect children that are being killed each and every day. Abortion is rampant, especially in our state. And we need mothers that are willing to stand up, mothers that are willing to risk their own lives to say, I'm going to fight for those who can't fight for themselves. That's the heart of a mother, and it points to the heart of our Heavenly Father who loves us and fights for us and protects us from our enemies, even when we couldn't fight for ourselves. You know, a verse that's always stuck out to me is Proverbs chapter 31, verse 25. It says, strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. And here's one of the reasons it stands out to me, because if you're a movie buff like me, then those two words should feel very significant, because one of the greatest movies that has ever been created is Gladiator. And it's a common phrase they use, right? Strength and honor. And these are soldiers. These are warriors. These are men going out to battle, and they remind each other, strength and honor, strength and honor. And what do we read here but about a mother, that strength and honor are her clothing? Don't let anybody ever tell you that the call of a mother is a weak calling. Man, they are warriors. They are going to battle, and not just a physical battle, but a spiritual battle on behalf of their children. The gladiators in the home. And in verse 28, it says this, that her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. That this is a mother who takes seriously that battle, that fight to protect her children and her home from all the schemes and wiles of the enemy, from his fiery darts that would try and confuse and deceive your children. But it's a fight worth fighting. And it's a fight that your children one day will rise up and say, man, blessed are you, Mom. Thank you for fighting on my behalf when I didn't even realize what you were doing. Your husbands will rise up and praise you and say, man, thank you for standing in the gap for our children. Thank you for standing against those schemes of the enemy. Thank you for protecting them and guarding them. I was reading this week about some of these superhero stories of mothers who have done incredible feats to protect their children. And I'll just share two with you, but if you want some fun reading this afternoon, you just go and read all of these accounts of what mothers have done to protect their children. Here's one. In May of 2014, 23-year-old Christina Samoz was trapped in her apartment in Massachusetts with her 18-month-old son Cameron while a raging fire began to climb the walls of the building. All the exits were blocked, and she had no way to escape except for the window. But out of fear for her child's well-being and the safety of her young son, she decided the best thing she could do was to jump out of the window back first so that her child could land on top of her and she could protect her child from the brunt of the fall. And so she did this. She grabs her child, she leaps out the window, and she falls to the ground onto her back on the pavement. Her child was completely unharmed. She was rushed to the hospital where she was told she would never walk again. And yet, because of the incredible advances in technology and God's favor in her life, she was given extensive surgeries and is walking this day. But you want to talk about the protection of a mother and the lengths she's willing to go to protect her child. Man, I think every stunt double out there was just dropping their jaw at the thought of that kind of feat. But here's one more. In 2009, Maureen and her 3-year-old daughter Maya were enjoying a hike on a trail near their home, located 40 miles north of Vancouver, Canada, when an 88-pound cougar pounced on her daughter up in front of her. And Maureen took action in that very moment. She runs full force towards this cougar, body slams it, wedges herself between the cougar and her child, and then as she shoves it off, carries her child and runs to a nearby home where they're able to get help, and her daughter only suffers minor scratches from when it first pounced on her to try and attack her. And when they talked with the daughter later to ask her about the account, her only real question was, why didn't the kitty play so nice? Well, that's a big kitty that most people would want nothing to do with, but you get between a mom and her child, and there's no time to think. Mothers act to protect their children and put their own life at risk to get in the way. You know, I have chickens at my house, and it's awesome to see the way that they will protect chicks, especially when there's danger, that they will call to them and spread out their wings and bring them up under them to place themselves as a shield to block against a hawk coming by or any kind of animal that would try and snatch these chicks. But that's the example that Jesus uses in Luke 13 when he says this, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her, how often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, but you were not willing." Now look at what the text is saying. Okay, let's not mistake who he's speaking to. These are not perfect, righteous, godly people. He's speaking to a people who are killing the prophets and stoning those who are sent to them. These are rebels. These are outcasts. These are prodigals. These are those who have walked away, who are far from God, who want nothing to do with him and are killing those who are speaking on his behalf. And how is God's attitude towards them? It sure doesn't sound like the language of a father. How often, like a grizzly bear, I just wanted to tear you up and chew you to shreds, and every guy would be like, yeah, I get that. No, but his heart towards his people is, oh, how often, like a mother hen, I wanted to just gather you under my wings and protect you and care for you and call you to myself and show you a better way, but you were unwilling. And I think every mother in this room who has a prodigal child can feel his heart with those words. That just because your child has gone astray and maybe is far from the Lord doesn't mean you stop loving them or caring for them or saying, oh, I just want to bring you in close. I just want to protect you. I want to care for you, and I want you to see a better way. I want to show you a better way. I don't want you to experience all the pain and suffering that the world's going to bring. I wish I could shelter you from all of it, but I can't. You know, we don't get far into the beginning of creation before we have the heartbreak of a mother whose child has gone wayward, do we? Eve's own children, Cain and Abel, and Cain rebels and kills Abel. And how quickly are we into the first family, and already we've got a rebel child coming against another and a mom grieving a child who's gone too soon. And yet we see the heart of God meeting us in our grief, bringing life where there is death, bringing justice where there was injustice. But it's not just a mother's care and loving protection and drawing her children to herself. It's also the fight of a mother. Be honest, what creature are you most scared to run into when you're out on a hike? It's probably a mama bear, isn't it? See, when you see cubs, you're not going, man, I am terrified of those little things. What you're terrified of is the reality that there is a mom somewhere nearby, and if she sees me anywhere near these cubs, I'm in trouble. But back to that core of love, that mama bear didn't wake up in the morning and say, man, I just really want to mess some people up today. That mama bear has one thing on her mind, and it's her love and protection of her cubs, which is why she will wreck you if you get anywhere between her and them. In fact, there is a hilarious account. I say hilarious because it didn't happen to me. But in 2 Kings, where you've got the prophet Elisha, who's being mocked by this crowd of men who are making fun of him, calling him a baldy and all these things, but ultimately they're following him. They're blaspheming him. They're mocking him as this messenger of God to the point he's had enough. And in 2 Kings, he declares a curse over all these who are following him. And it says, then the Lord sends two, what? Female bears out from the wilderness who maul the whole crowd. I mean, if there is one creature you don't want to mess with, it's a mama bear. And God knows it because when he sent someone to bring justice, he sends two mama bears out there. And it doesn't matter how many were in that crowd, they didn't stand a chance. Man, wouldn't you like that spiritual gift? Just any time, you know what? Oh, you want to cut me off in the road? Mama bear. Wouldn't that be nice? I think God in his wisdom knows we couldn't handle that kind of power. But moms, that job of protecting your children goes so much further than just physical protection. You've got a full-time job to protect your children from what they see on TV, from the rampant lies and deception on social media, from a culture of promiscuity and sexual perversion and their own battles with their identity and their value and their purpose and their worth. Don't take lightly, and let me say this, don't do it alone. For every person in this room, we should be asking the question, how are we helping support moms in that task of protecting their children? Do they feel the full weight of the entire body of Christ surrounding them to say, how can I help you in protecting your children, in combating those lies, in being an example of truth? Don't do it alone. And I pray that God raises up mama bears within this congregation, great women of faith who stand for the truth and are mentioned among the great saints that have gone before them, like Amy Carmichael or Elizabeth Elliot or Corrie Ten Boom, women who stood up and stood in the gap, who stood against the evil that was among them and kept it at bay. Because our world needs more godly mama bears to rise up against abortion, sexual immorality, and the garbage being pushed in so many of the public schools today. We need you guys to be a voice of truth and reason and compassion to so many kids who don't stand a chance if someone won't tell them the truth in love. But it brings us to the third and final piece we're going to look at this morning of this biblical motherhood. There's love and there is protection, that nurturing care, and then there is sacrifice. Motherhood won't always be glamorous, but it is gloriously sacrificial. In fact, I think you'd be hard-pressed to describe motherhood and not use the word sacrifice in the same sentence. It's a picture, though maybe flawed, but true, of the long-suffering, sacrificial love of God for his children. In fact, I think it's a very tangible expression of what Paul has called all of us to in Romans 12. When he says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. When you look at a mom bearing a child through pregnancy and the pains and the sickness and the fatigue that come with it, just to endure the blood, sweat, and tears of child labor, to then bring a child into this world that she will nurse and care for and lose sleep over, you see a living sacrifice for the sake of another. In fact, I think this is part of what Paul is describing when he tells us to have this mind, which was also in Christ Jesus, who laid down his rights, his throne, his very life and well-being for us, and who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. As mothers, you need the Holy Spirit to give you the mind of Christ so that you might see the sacrifices of today preparing you for an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. To be reminded that the temporary suffering and affliction of motherhood, be it the sleepless nights or the brain fog, the wayward children, the postponed personal goals, the temper tantrums, the moody teens, or anything else in between, that it is temporary and that it is a work worth enduring, because with each new difficulty comes an opportunity to follow in the footsteps of Jesus, to lay down your life that you might share in the statement of 3 John 1:4, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. All of us are called to be living sacrifices. Motherhood, though, is one of those tangible expressions we see day in and day out of that being lived out for children. But let's not sugarcoat it. It's a lot of work. It's why in Proverbs 31:27, one of the many reasons that when we describe this virtuous woman there, we see this, that she watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Because there is always work to be done. Another counter to clean, another toy to pick up, another mouth to feed, another diaper to change, another spill to clean up, another homework assignment to go through, another lesson in discipline, another opportunity to point your children's eyes towards Jesus and to show them a better way. But we train up our children in the way they should go so that when they are old, they will not depart from it. I know that I'm only standing here because I'm standing on the shoulders of godly women who gave me a godly example and raised me in truth. I'm thankful that even when I didn't want to go, that I was dragged to church, that I was forced in the car and driven to Awana's, that I was given a devotion every morning, even if I sighed and rolled my eyes through the entire lesson, that I was constantly given truth and given an example of that truth in my mother and my father. And though I didn't always appreciate it, though it was a long time of seeds being planted till there was any sign of any life of any kind, they continued to faithfully plant and water, and plant and water, and pull up the weeds, and plant and water, and scare off the birds, and plant and water, until one day there was finally fruit. Mothers, don't grow weary in doing good. Don't lose heart just because you don't see the fruit of your labor yet. Fathers, encourage your mothers in the work they are doing. Support the work of the mothers in the home. And look around at the mothers in your circles. Often, they're not present at all of the ministry opportunities and the events going on because they're at home. Because it's nap time, it's bedtime, it's meltdown hour. But reach out. Encourage them. Show up at their door. Help them clean the house. Give them a break. Remind them that the work they're doing is not just a delay in their real kingdom work for 18 years. It's a part of the kingdom work, with the gospel at the center of it, because they are making disciples each and every day in their home. It's a critical work that we need so that we can raise up a generation of men and women who know the Word of God, who fear the Lord, and who have seen what it looks like to follow Him, though it may be imperfectly, covered in grace. I think of Mary, the mother of Jesus, taking the responsibility of bearing the Savior of the world. But not just the pain and responsibility that came with that task, how about the shame and life-altering nature of that virgin birth? The difficulty it would even be for Joseph to accept this. The shame and rumors that would spread. And just the full weight that you would feel as you're raising up the Savior of the world. We have many examples in Scripture. Mothers who feared the Lord, who followed the Lord and raised up their children. Mothers who did it imperfectly but looked to God for their strength. And we celebrate the children that rose up from them, the kings, the prophets, the disciples, the rulers, those faithful men and women who came from a home that took seriously that call. And my prayer for us this morning is, Lord, would you do it again? Lord, would you equip and empower the mothers of this church to raise up a godly generation of rulers and leaders and disciples who will magnify your name and spread the gospel throughout this place? And would you give our whole church an understanding of the weight of that calling and responsibility? And our part to play in support and encouragement and prayer, so there's not a mother who goes to this church who doesn't feel the full support of the church around her. Now here's what we're going to do. As I invite the worship team to come back up. Two things. First and foremost, understand this. This is Mother's Day, and we want to honor all the moms in this room and the responsibility they have. Motherhood is not the gospel. It is a shadow, but not the fullness of the gospel, as it reminds us of a God who loves us even in our fallen state. Even as imperfectly as we walk, as often as we fail, there is a God that loves you so deeply that he would send his son to die for you. A God who loves you enough to call you to repentance and show you a better way forward. A God who protects us from our enemies, who fought the greatest battle that needed to be fought in life, the battle over sin and death, and came out victorious and offers you salvation because of his finished work. A God who sacrifices for his children, who laid down his own rights and life, and promises to never leave or forsake his people. And first and foremost, this morning, if you're here and you've never responded to that loving, protective, sacrificial heart of God, which we call the gospel, we want to give you an opportunity this morning because we've all fallen short of the glory of God. The wages of our sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. And if you've yet to respond and receive that, this morning is an opportunity for you to do so. Scripture tells us that though we've all fallen short, though we all deserve hell and separation, that by grace we can be saved through faith. And it's a gift of God. His Son lived the perfect life so that he could be the perfect sacrifice for our sins. He bore the full wrath of God on the cross for your sin. And if you would confess with your mouth this morning and believe in your heart that Jesus truly is the Son of God, that he died for your sins and he offers you salvation, you can be saved. You can be forgiven of all your sin, past, present, and future. You can be welcomed into the family of God as a child of God. And all that you heard about of a mother, you can experience the fullness of that in God. A God who loves you perfectly, unconditionally, and eternally. A God who will fight for you and protect you and keep you, and nothing will pluck you out of his hands. A God who gave the ultimate sacrifice of his life for you. And offers his Holy Spirit to live inside of you, to comfort you, to strengthen you, to teach you, to empower you, to guide you, because he won't leave you an orphan. But he calls you to make a decision. It's a choice you have to make of whom you will serve. And you cannot live for God and yourself. You cannot serve God and mammon. And so you've got a decision to make today. And if you've never made the decision yet to give your life to Jesus, to repent and turn from your sin and follow him, now's your opportunity if you need to make that decision. And we would ask you either to stand up where you are or to raise up your hand so that we can pray for you and welcome you into the family of God. Is there anybody this morning that needs to make that decision? So then, church, here's what we're going to do at this time. I felt just a burden last night as I was praying through this text and preparing for this morning, that more than just verbally honoring you moms and also encouraging the whole body of Christ to support you, that we needed to do something a little different than we do on a Sunday morning this morning. And so here's what I want to ask. I want to ask every mom in the room. Maybe you're a mom, maybe you're a grandma. You have young kids, you have old kids, you're an expecting mom. You fill in the blank. But I want to ask all the moms in the room that are present here today, if you're able to make your way up to the front here in front of the stage, because we want to pray over you this morning. It's okay if you've got a kid. We don't mind if they're crying. There's no problem with that. But this is a moment that we're serious when we say that this is a weighty responsibility and call. And we don't want to just talk about supporting you. We want to do that this morning. Come on up. There's plenty of room. I don't have much left to say, so I'm not going to spit on you. Guys, make your way up. There's plenty of space here at the front. Now, I wonder if you're seeing what I'm seeing, which is a pretty staggering reality that there's just about no one left in the pews when you begin to look at the mothers in this church. So moms, I want to thank you for being here. I'm sure some of you didn't get the sleep last night you wanted. And I'm sure it was your very own battle just to get here this morning. I know I've got four at home. It's not perfect, it's not always pretty, but we're thankful you're here. And we're thankful for such a large part of the church that you make up here. We don't take light the responsibility that you bear and the difference it makes in this church and the community around us. And this morning we want to honor you, and there is one tiny tangible way we're going to do that out in the lobby, which is an awesome gift you get to take home on that table. But we want to pray for you in this moment. And we want to pray that God would just touch you with his Holy Spirit this morning and anoint you And maybe some of you need a fresh perspective this morning of, and a reminder of that weighty call, that Great Commission call in what you're doing as a mom. And you need to be reminded that you are seen, you're not forgotten. And we value you and we need you. And for everybody else in the room that's not up here, I want to ask you as we pray for them to extend a hand, not only to join in praying for them, but for you to own and take the responsibility of saying, man, I am going to help support these moms in any way I can. I'm going to come alongside them. I'm going to be praying for them because this whole church is better when these moms are thriving in the calling God has given them. Amen? All right, let's pray for these moms up here this morning. God, we thank you for the moms of Confluence Church here today. Lord, I can't even begin to imagine the stories that exist up here in this moment. God's stories of great love, stories of incredible protection, stories of sacrifice, stories that point to the heart of a loving God, a great and beautiful gospel, and the great commission you have called us to in making disciples of all nations. Lord, I pray that you would empower these moms this morning by your Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray that you would fill them with all the fruit of the Spirit in their lives. God, for those that are exhausted and worn out, that are weary and heavy laden, Lord, we just pray that you would give them rest. Rest for their souls, refreshment in you, a joy of the Lord that would be their strength. And Lord, where they have dreaded the work of motherhood, I pray that they would look at it with a fresh lens this morning, that it would excite them, that it would thrill them. God, that there would be a renewed sense of purpose and hope and calling this morning. God, I pray that all the work they are doing, that it would be done through the lens of grace. God, that where they fail, they will look to a Savior that never does. And God, I pray for the whole church around them, that they would feel our support, our encouragement, our prayers. That they would not feel insecure, God, that they would not feel every eye looking at them, that they would not feel the judgment of how they parent, God, that they would feel freedom and grace and acceptance and love and care. That they could let people see the mess, that they could let people see the tears, that they could let people know the struggles, and that they would feel welcomed still and a part of the body of Christ here. And Lord, show us our part. Show us how we can better love and support and care for them as they take on the full weight of this responsibility. And Lord, we pray that in this room is represented incredible saints, mama bears, those who are going to go before their children and fight and protect them and raise them up in the truth. And God, that a mighty generation would arise within this church of men and women of faith who stand on the truth, who walk in your ways, who glorify your name in all that they do, and that they would look back one way and call upon their moms and say, you are blessed, that their husbands would praise them, and that today, Lord, they would feel the full favor of God on their lives. They would be honored not only this day on Mother's Day, but every day moving forward for your glory above all else, God. And it's in your name we pray. And all God's people said, amen and amen.